can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner
Welcome later, back, folks.
Cut you down.
This is the Alex Jones Show, going through some of the consequences from the Epstein files. There's been a statement, a public statement made by LifeTouch Group, which is the school photo company we were just talking about. Excuse me. A public statement from Ken Murphy, LifeTouch Group CEO, on recent rumors around student privacy. They say this: at LifeTouch, student safety goes beyond the camera lens. As a trusted partner of schools for 90 years, we're committed to protecting the privacy and personal information of every student we serve. When LifeTouch photographers take your students' pictures, that image is safeguarded for families and schools only, with no exceptions. LifeTouch does not and has never provided images to any third party. And so they go on to say they follow all of the rules about maintaining data. LifeTouch never sells, shares, or licenses student images to train AI models, including large language models for facial recognition technology. LifeTouch has never provided images for such purpose to any third party. And finally, they say funds managed by subsidiaries of Apollo Global Management are investors in Shutterfly, the parent company of LifeTouch. Neither Apollo nor its funds are involved in the day-to-day operations of LifeTouch, and therefore no one employed by Apollo has ever had access to any student images. It's a good statement. I assume what they're saying is accurate. However, in my opinion, not good enough. Not good enough. What this should say is, out of an abundance of caution and in respect to the genuine concern shown by our customers, we are divesting any money we've ever received from Apollo funds. That's what they should say. That's what should be happening. That's the way that you actually take down this network. Is all the companies that they invest in have to come out and denounce that investment, give it back, and say they don't want it anymore. You can't just say, oh, you know, yeah, okay, we are taking money from the, you know, abusive pedophile, but like there's a couple steps removed between us and it. It's like, well, you still have the money. You're still using the money. You still are involved in a corporation owned and founded by this guy. I don't think it's good enough. I just don't. Because I think we need to have the attitude that the left has always had. Do you think if it came out that, you know, Larry Fink was a genuine, you know, Roman-throwing Nazi, do you think they'd say, well, but, you know, sure, we take Nazi money, but we're really careful? No, they'd, as a, you know, symbol of their outrage, they would be willing to take a hit. Remember Adidas lost like billions of dollars canceling Kanye West? They're willing to do it to show how they felt. And Kanye West didn't make any 7-year-old girls bleed from their private parts, did he? No. Leon Black allegedly did. But for some reason, the outrage over Kanye West simply mentioning the J word is more than the outrage over Leon Black being credibly accused of the most horrendous actions you could ever imagine. They go on to say LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activity. Yeah, but you still take their money, so you have to stop taking their money now. You have to send that money back. It's also just like I feel like I've explained this over and over, but there's a reason that the icon of the Illuminati is a pyramid. Right? Because if you can have these structures where Shutterfly owns LifeTouch and Apollo owns Shutterfly and BlackRock owns Apollo and Vanguard owns, then what you do is as you go higher up the power structure, you're dealing with smaller and smaller amount of people. So at the very top, you have a very small number of people or just one corporation or one bank controlling tens of thousands of people and operations underneath it. And it's just like, it's unnecessary. Is it really necessary to have a nationwide, you know, school photography company that gets all of the contracts? Like, wouldn't it make more sense that every school is in a location, you could have a company there that does it for that location? Like, wouldn't it be better if you had a bunch of small businesses rather than one gigantic one? But that's completely at odds with the values of the globalists, who will tell you over and over, everything should be consolidated, everything should be monopolized, and everything should be owned, you know, downstream from BlackRock, Vanguard, basically a couple of pedophile rapists. We'll be right back.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And the colors of the sea find your eyes with trembling mermaids.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We still have a lot of news to cover in this hour, and then Jay Dyer will be taking over for the fourth hour. We've got Rob Dew and Rex Jones taking over for War Room. It's going to be a party. They have a ton of great guests as we continue to grow and expand and operate in the face of the most overwhelming lawfare that any corporation or individual has ever seen in this country, the most brazen misapplication of law and attempts to manipulate things, and yet we've been able to fight them back and expose them. And now we have just launched a countersuit that, if there's any justice to be found, like, this is it's not so much a Hail Mary, because it's all right there. Like, it all is proven out in our documents. We have all the evidence you could possibly need to make the case that we're making, that our civil liberties have been restricted and in some cases outright eliminated by the process that we've been subjected to. It's all right there. And if there's any justice to have, then we'll be victorious, and these people will go down, like, with criminal charges, not just civil punishment. So we are now launching that counterattack. Stories at InfoWars.com. Alex Jones files second amended counterclaim in bankruptcy court alleging constitutional violations and Sandy Hook defamation judgment. And we won't go into it here. We have a lot of other news to cover, but you can read the entire filing for yourself. You can inform yourself, arm yourself with the information, so you can tell people about this and let people know the importance of what we're doing here, as we are attempting desperately to preserve some ability for the average American to speak out against the power structure, no matter what. So I'm so happy that you've supported us this far, and I ask you to double down and continue your support of us as we continue to double down our operations. And we're only getting bigger. We're only getting better. And the proof is in the pudding, folks. I've said before, this is my ninth anniversary of working here at InfoWars. When I started, we had one little studio. It's the War Room studio now. At the time, it was the Alex Jones studio. We had a little podcast studio in the back. But every year, we have steadily grown. And the reason for that is because all the money that we get goes back into the operation. It's not cheap to build these studios. It's not cheap to manage the infrastructure. It's not cheap to get satellite uplinks and run our own servers so that we aren't dependent on YouTube and Google, who tried to destroy us by kicking us off in 2018. We've been able to build the infrastructure to survive this because you've gone to thealexjonesstore.com, and you can go there and shop confidently knowing that we're not wasting the money. It goes right, but you see where it goes. I mean, this studio wouldn't exist without your support. And if we were greedy scumbags just taking the money and running with it, we could have, right? We don't want to. That's not the purpose of what we're doing here. It's all about the mission. It's all about the information. It's all about getting it out there to as many people as possible. And it's all about explaining to people the underlying reality that's now being exposed in full technicolor by the Jeffrey Epstein document release. So please do support us, thealexjonesstore.com. We cannot do it without you. And we give you a great ton of great reasons to do it. All the products today are 52% off site-wide. So, I mean, all the supplements, if you take supplements, stock up now, 50% off. You sign up for shipping, there's additional discounts. VIP member, additional discounts. If you haven't tried something, you want to try it. Now's the time to try it. And if you don't even like the supplements and just want the t-shirts and hats and really cool merchandise that we have there, that's 52% off too. So no matter what you get at thealexjonesstore.com, it goes to supporting this mission and humanity itself in our fight against the tyrants and the machines. But you also get a fantastic product, 52% off site-wide right now. And you're getting 2x the entries for both the cars. Right now, it's the crossover event, so you're entered to win 100 times for every dollar that you spend. You get 100 entries for either the Mustang or the F-250, the great Ford cars that we are giving away to one lucky winner. Somebody's got to win it. Might as well be you. You just got to go to thealexjonesstore.com and buy a fantastic product. Okay, with that, we've got one more thing to talk about with Epstein, then we'll move on to some other goings-on worldwide. Goldman's top lawyer departs amid revelations about her ties to Epstein. Kathleen Rumler, something like that, a former top Obama administration lawyer, is out at Goldman Sachs after emails showed a friendship with the sex offender Jeffrey Epstein spanning many, many years. Goldman Sachs top lawyer Kathleen Rumler, resigned on Thursday in the wake of Justice Department's release of emails and other material that revealed her extensive relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, the disgraced financier. Ms. Rumler and representatives for Goldman said for years that she'd strictly professional relationship with Mr. Epstein, a convicted sex offender, but emails, text messages, and photographs released late last month upended that narrative, leading to Ms. Rumler's sudden resignation, which surprised many within the firm. They're like, we thought we were above the law. We didn't know we suffered consequences for our decisions. That's for the plebs, for the goyim, as it were. But she's been forced to resign. And we'll move on now. But they're not doing a great job of covering all this stuff up. They're just really not. It's all coming out. More and more people are being exposed to it. And more people are understanding the true consequences, like the underlying reality that all of this is exposing. It's not about the details. It's about the bird's eye view and seeing the way our world really works, how the power structures actually operate. Now I want to go to some videos of a hearing that happened earlier today with Trump appointee Jeremy Carl. Jeremy Carl is an author who's written a book about the abuse that white Americans have faced in the last decade or so. And he's being questioned about his views on race and immigration and all of these things. Let's go to clip 21 here as he simply relates back to the Democrats their own words, and yet they're outraged. And we call this celebration parallax. It's a very not very catchy name, but it's a good one. Celebration parallax. You can say exactly the same thing, only if you approve of it, you're a good, decent, loving, liberal human being. And if you're against it, you're it's hate speech and it's bad and you're not allowed to say it. It's the same thing. You're saying exactly the same thing. It's just if your tone is negative, you're a bad guy and you're hateful. But if your tone is positive, then you're a forward-thinking lover of diversity. Let's go to clip 21 here, Trump appointee Jeremy Carl being questioned by the U.S. Congress.
What do you mean when you say that you believe in the great replacement theory?
Senator, thank you for that question. This refers to the intentional demographic replacement of Europeans in Europe. It was invented by Renaud Camus, who was a French scholar.
You think there's an active effort to, quote unquote, replace Americans right now?
Senator, I think the Democratic Party, through its immigration policies, has certainly shown signs of that.
And I don't understand that. So you are saying that if more Americans are black or Latino Americans, that somehow weakens America,
yeah,
because it puts whites in a minority?
Yeah. What? Yes. Duh. We should tape it up somewhere. The was a millennial woes quote. The hardest thing about talking to liberals is they pretend not to understand things. So you just can't talk to them. You just can't get through to them. It's like, you're saying to me that bringing in a ton of black and brown people and making white people the minority is a bad thing, and you're against that? I don't understand. You understand? What the hell are you talking about? Obviously, you understand. You kidding me? Plus, Why would we want to be made of? I mean, there's just I have trouble even responding to this because we have literally hours of Democrats themselves explaining this. We have former President Joe Biden, you know, America's not going to be majority white anymore, and that's a good thing. You're not shy about it. You advertise it. We're just supposed to be okay with it. We're supposed to acknowledge it and somehow accept that we're supposed to be made a minority in our own countries, that we're supposed to be replaced by foreigners, and somehow we deserve that. No, that's the most hateful and outrageous thing you could possibly say to anybody. And these people just say it as if it's normal. No, it's completely insane, incredibly offensive, frankly, genocidal. The hell is wrong with you? White people would never put up with this for any other race. If white people found out that Africans were being replaced in Ghana, you think we'd sit by and allow that to happen? Where's the respect? We can't get that same level of respect back. It's crazy. It really genuinely is crazy. And one of the craziest things is the idea that like you have to be white to even care about this. This is what I mean. When it's like, if you learned that people of Nicaragua were being crowded out by 10 million refugees from the Congo, wouldn't you be like, no, this isn't okay? No, the people of Nicaragua do not deserve to have their homeland swamped by a bunch of foreigners who then take power over them and use the government to exploit them. Like, that's wrong, and we would try to stop it. For some reason, when it happens in Europe, we don't even want to stop it. We would stop it for anybody else. We would be able to recognize what was happening, and we'd oppose it for everybody else. And in this, embedded in this mindset that they're trying to put forward is a bizarre and inverted form of white supremacy, where white people are incapable of recognizing that they as a race are under attack and are being genocided. They think that what can't happen. Again, it's weird. It's like this weird white supremacy where white people are just like, of course we can let the entire world into our countries. We're white. We can do anything. They'll never, you know, kick us out of our countries. We're white after all. It's like, no, you're just another group of people like every other group of people. You can also die. You can also be destroyed. Why are you not protecting yourselves? You are not invincible. We are not invulnerable. Stop acting like we are. It's not inevitable that white people just exist in the future. We're being murdered at a massive rate in a systematic way. And it's not just our existence in the modern day that is literally at risk of ending forever. They're destroying the history as well and making supposedly historical movies that completely destroy the presence of the English in England. We've been over this so many damn times. It's just absurd to have these people claim that they don't recognize the activity they themselves are engaged in. This is absurd. The only advice I would have is the great replacement is the label that they like using to criticize it because it did come from Camus, and they can say this is a theory. The great replacement theory. I think the much better phrase to use is replacement migration. Because if you search the phrase replacement migration on Google, what you find is the UN white paper about how replacement migration was the plan to replace white people in Europe, published in, I think, like 2004 or something. I mean, published years ago. Published in the year 2000 as a deliberate policy paper about what they were going to do. It's not a theory. It's a policy. It was written down. And now it's being followed, and the outcome is exactly as intended. It's not a theory. So the great replacement, it's a fine term, but I say replacement migration. That way, you're not talking about a theory. You're talking about a UN policy and a Democrat talking point, by the way. He got some other heat here. Trump appointee Jeremy Carl says the Democrats are trying to... that's the same one. There's another one here. Trump nominated a legit white nationalist to a top post at the State Department. Incredible. I can't believe it. Clip 23 here. So this is him being questioned about white culture. Again, it's hard to even comprehend what we're doing here because the Democrats every day are telling us about how bad whiteness is and how we have to destroy whiteness and how whiteness is a poison and whiteness keeps black people down. Whiteness, whiteness, whiteness. We're always hearing about it until it's time to defend it. And then it's like, what the hell does that even mean? That doesn't exist. Okay, you're liars. You just hate white people. It's really not complicated. Let's go to clip 23 now.
Tell me how you define white identity and what you think is being erased about white identity.
Certain types of Anglo-derived culture that comes from our history.
There's, like what?
Let me think about this. You know, Senator, I would say if you were to look at the book by one of your former Senate colleagues, Born Fighting, about the sort of Scotch-Irish military culture and certain, you know, pride that went with that, that would be one example. Obviously, you could have sub-elements of that culture. You could have Italians. You could have Irish. And those are in many ways more
distinct. You're worried about white culture. You're not worried about you're now retreating to ethnic identity. You don't speak about ethnic identity. You speak about white identity. So tell me the values that stitch together white identity and that make it different than black identity.
I would say that the white church is very different than the black church in terms of its tone and style on average. Food ways could often be different.
And those are being erased.
Music could be different. Well, if you look at the Super Bowl halftime show, which was not in English this year.
So our ability to access white churches or white food or white music is being erased?
I am concerned with the majority common American culture that we had for some time that through particularly mass immigration, I think has become much more balkanized. And I think that weakens us. And again, I'm not running away from that comment. I'm not apologizing for it.
Well, I'm way over my time. I think you're struggling to answer this question, right? Because underlying your beliefs is a sentiment that white culture is just simply better.
It is. No, it is, though. White culture, it's better. No, it is. We shouldn't be shy about that. It's absolutely better. I mean, however you want to define it, European culture is better. Is that confusing to anybody? Why is everybody trying to come here? Because our culture is better. What are you talking about? We don't need to be shy about this. Our culture is like so much better. I did a report on War Room the other day after the Super Bowl talking about just the minor differences between Latin America and America. Culturally, we're very similar. We're both Christian. We're both republics. We have a history of revolution. Like, there's a lot that tie us together, but those minor things, they may seem minor, that set us apart, represent the difference between having a baseball field and a picnic with kids selling snow cones and having decapitated bodies hanging from your streetlights. I mean, it's a massive cultural gulf between what we're willing to put up with and what people in the third world are willing to put up with and willing to treat each other by. The other thing was a massive, there's a huge roundabout in Mexico City, and there's walls around the roundabout, and all over it are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures of individuals who have gone missing from Mexico City because there's a problem there where people continually are kidnapped or murdered or tortured to death by cartels or the government or a combination thereof. That's the world that exists with our corruption meter ticked up about 2 or 3 points. So yes, American culture, European culture, white culture is better. It's the best, actually. You're just lying if you deny that. I'm sorry to tell you. So we don't need to shy away from that. Now, when he's asked the question, what is white culture that you think is going away? You know, he didn't necessarily stumble on his answer, but it didn't quite come out that fluidly. I've got some suggestions. I've got some concepts of white culture that might differentiate white culture from others. Things like, I don't know, being quiet on Christmas Eve. That's one thing I miss. See, Anglo culture, white European American culture, is the night before Christmas, all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. It's quiet, it's calm, it's warm and comforting. Mexicans light fireworks off on New Year's Eve. It's a little bit incompatible. And it's not like both of these can exist next to each other. See, I'm trying to drink hot chocolate in front of the fire while I read stories to my children, and there are explosions going off in my front yard. It's not like I can have my thing and they can have theirs. No, theirs imposes on my thing and destroys my thing and doesn't make my thing possible anymore. That's American culture being not just degraded but utterly eradicated by the importation of foreign traditions. Do you understand? But you don't even have to take my word for it. I mean, what is white culture? I don't know. Tipping well in restaurants, sitting quietly through movies. I mean, I could, there's a lot of things, but we don't have to, you don't have to take my word. You don't have to take my view of it. Luckily for us, the good liberals, the lovers of diversity have put together a little list for us. It's called Aspects and Assumptions of White Culture. When did we start popping fireworks in Christmas? Houston residents left wondering. I have an idea. It's when all the Mexicans came in and decided they didn't give a damn about us, decided they didn't want to respect our traditions, decided that because we'd let them in, they were in charge now, and we had to submit to their traditions, not the other way around. It's not all that complicated. So if you want to know what white culture is, Harvard has put this together for us. White dominant culture, or whiteness, refers to the ways white people and their traditions, attitudes, and ways of life have been normalized over time. Yeah, in white countries. Do people forget that there are non-white countries? Whiteness, white culture, is not normalized in Gambia. It's not normalized in Tanzania or India. Duh. So here's what they say, aspects of white culture. Rugged individualism. Family structure with a nuclear family. Father, mother, 3.2 children is ideal. Husband is breadwinner and head of household. Wife is homemaker and subordinate to the husband. Children should have their own rooms, but be independent. Yep. Other aspects of white culture that we have to reject and replace, by the way. This is supposed to be bad things that we're supposed to reject and change for some reason. What this actually is a list of is the tried and true traditions developed over thousands of years that through trial and error we have decided is just the absolute best way to be a human being, to raise a family that's safe and happy and prosperous. This is how you do it. You have the father work, you have the mother stay home, you have a couple kids, you give them freedom and individuality while still, you know, having them have responsibilities to the larger family group. Yeah, it's the best way to have a family. It's the best culture available. Do we need to bring in the chart showing sexual abuse between the races? Do we need to see which race has a more innocent family structure, more innocent behavior amongst children? Other aspects of whiteness. So rugged individualism, families, the scientific method, history. History is an aspect of white culture that they're trying to destroy utterly. A Protestant work ethic, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Christianity, obviously, is the norm. Status, power, and authority, where you work and then achieve things and then gain respect and admiration from your wider community as you gain an importance there. That's terrible and bad. We should all be clans. We should all be clans fighting and biting in the mud with each other if we want to reject whiteness. Future orientation, you know, showing up for work on time. If I sound like a racist here, no, I'm literally reading from a leftist, I think it was like the SPLC or something, or some Jewish organization in Harvard worked to come out with a list of whiteness to destroy, and it's all the best things in the world because that's the little trick they're trying to pull over on everybody. What is whiteness? Oh, it's the Constitution and freedom and individuality and rugged, you know, independence. And we have to destroy that because whiteness is bad. We have to destroy the founding fathers and all of the freedoms that they gave you to defeat whiteness. Oh, look, whiteness has been destroyed and everybody's a slave. What do you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files, or is Trump covering up, or isn't he, or you know, what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, and what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out, and we the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban or whether it's Le Pen in France or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, We, the people of the West, of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice in the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, thealexjonesstore.com is owned by Bigley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top. Private labeled. So incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene Blue Tincture. We've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even Methylene Blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene Red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184, over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose CMOS capsules, incredible, very strong concentrated Irish CMOS, natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 spent in the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Jay Dyer is going to take over in the fourth hour, and then Rob Dew and Rex Jones are taking over the War Room today. So very big slate of content we have for you the rest of the day today. I'm Harrison Smith. Of course, I usually host the War Room. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. And, of course, support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We've got a pretty disturbing update from a friend of the show known as Corn Pop from Maine. He's actually running for school board because he's been battling it out with the school board for the last couple of years and has decided to take them on head on. And he is pointing to another poisonous action by the school board there in Maine. Inappropriate LGBTQ plus propaganda shoved down kindergartner's throat in Pittston Randolph Consolidated School Library. A concerned parent just reached out to me. Their 5-year-old kindergartner in Pittston Randolph in Maine brought home a book called The Prince and the Knight by Daniel Hack. We should be furious about this crap. This quote unquote fairy tale has a prince dumping princesses to hook up with a male knight, slay a dragon, tie the knot in a same-sex wedding, and party like it's no big deal. Pure LGBTQ plus indoctrination from GLAAD aimed at innocent 4 to 8 year olds How dare they push romantic same-sex crap in marriage on these children? The little one should be mastering ABCs, 1-2-3s, and playground rules, not getting brainwashed on sexuality without any parental heads-up or opt-out. This is outrageous indoctrination, not education. This book has been banned across America. It's number 5 on the ALA's 2019 most challenged list and pulled from schools in West Virginia, Virginia, Florida, and beyond for messing with kids' heads and spitting on family values. What the hell is our elementary library doing stocking this garbage and letting toddlers grab it unchecked? We parents demand transparency, strict age limits, and controls over what filth hits our 5-year-olds. So again, that's from Corn Pop. You can follow him at PWA1776. And yeah, it's literally just gay propaganda. Trying to teach kids that being homosexual is way cooler and more fun than being a normal, square, straight person, which is just evil. My son's 4 years old. If you're telling a kid about homosexuality as a 4-year-old, you should actually be locked up. Actually, that's another big topic of conversation. MAPS, minor attracted peoples, a.k.a. pedophiles, are starting to actually advocate for themselves. You know what? I'm not even gonna get into that, because what even is the argument? Like, it's just pretty simple. Anybody advocating for MAPS should be thrown in the ocean with a millstone around their neck. That's my official position. So I think that's as far as we need to go. But if you do want to find the story, it's at redux.info. Transgender pro-pedophile MAP activists are publicly campaigning in Seattle. Redux has learned that a trans-identified male and radical queer activist residing in Seattle, Washington, has been publicly advocating for pedophilic relationships with children while also organizing, quote, in-person events for anyone under the queer rainbow. He has a program called Beyond the Plus, which advocates for the rights of, quote, beings who are romantically or sexually attracted to beings who are below the age of 18. We don't have to let them do that. We don't have to let them advocate for pedophilia. We're under no obligation. For some reason, we think we're like hamstrung or have our hands tied by the First Amendment, that like people who are literally advocating sexual relationships with children, it's like, bah, First Amendment, nah, I don't agree. No, I actually don't agree that we are under any obligation to put up with any of this crap, and it's not in any way a violation of our firmly held principled beliefs, because free speech is for things that are good and matter, and political activism about actual events, not trying to seduce children into having sex with you. Obviously, this is ridiculous. But we'll move on. Oh, God. There's so much that's just, I don't even want to, but you got to know. Victoria in Australia launches digital birth certificate trial linking newborns to Australia's national digital ID system. The government of the Australian state of Victoria is building identity infrastructure that starts at birth. The state has launched a digital birth certificate trial this month, turning paper documents into app-based credentials that link newborns to a national digital identity system before they're old enough to understand what that means. The pilot runs through Service Victoria's app, where parents can store a child's birth certificate as a digital credential for kindergarten enrollment. Three local councils are testing the system. Service Victoria frames this as a convenience, which it partly is, while constructing the foundation for a lifetime digital identity tracking that extends well beyond preschool registration. Story at Infowars.com. Sounds crazy to me, but at least it's better than what they're doing in Canada. Canada may start euthanizing babies. Canada's Medical Assistance and Dying Program, MAID, already one of the world's most permissive euthanasia regimes, may soon extend to disabled newborns. That possibility is reigniting horror among pro-life advocates who warn of a slippery slope towards eugenics. The Quebec College of Physicians recently told the British newspaper Daily Mail that it believes, quote, medical assistance in dying may be an appropriate treatment for babies suffering from extreme pain, and that, quote, parents should have the opportunity to obtain this care for their infant. This care for their infant. I think anyone supporting this program should be given the very same care they give to the babies. I think they should be given all of the care that they want to give to babies, I think should be provided for them. I think we should give them all the care in the world, as they describe it. I think they should be euthanized. Sorry, I don't want to make that joke too opaque. I think anybody actually in favor of euthanasia should be the first victims of euthanasia. I think that's fitting and fair. Do we need to translate this? Maybe we need to translate this, because what they say is that medical assistance in dying may be an appropriate treatment for babies suffering from extreme pain, and parents should have the opportunity to obtain this care for that infant. Translation, let's expose and murder the babies we don't like. Okay, that's all that means. That's all that means. So what else is there to say? I mean, they just keep going. They just keep going. It's never going to be enough. They're killing poor people. They're killing people who have easily curable diseases because the cure is more expensive than killing them. They're killing almost exclusively white people. And now they're talking about killing newborns. Either killing them or hooking them up to a digital ID slave system that will create a digital twin of theirs for manipulation for the rest of time. So these are just some of the horrors beyond belief. This one's a little bit actually of a good story, in a way. It's a good and a bad story. But it's interesting, and it just absolutely demolishes everything underlying every concept the left believes. If you think I'm overselling it, I'm actually not. This is from Representative Josh Williams at Josh Williams OH on X. Black children in Mississippi are now performing better in reading and math than black children in New York and California, despite having much higher rates of poverty and spending much less per student. And the secret was simply not allowing children to move up a grade level unless they can read proficiently. It turns out that when education is prioritized over woke ideology, the outcome for our kids are better. Wow, translation, white supremacy works, folks. It's probably one of the things in that list. I'll have to check my list. I bet, you know, being able to read is on that list of whiteness that we have to expel from our communities. It's whiteness to think that you have to earn a grade that's passing before you pass to the next grade. This is all downstream from the white education system that we're forcing on all these non-whites. It's really not complicated. It's not hard. It's not confusing. It shouldn't be difficult for anybody to understand. What we're experiencing, I like to call diversity ad nauseum. That is, diversity being the supreme concern over and above all other concerns, to the point that everything else can be destroyed as long as diversity is served. Obviously, it's harder to pull people up than it is to push people down. Right? It's harder to get a population that's not succeeding to succeed than it is to turn a successful population into a bunch of lazy scum. So they're going with the easier option. They're always going to go with the easier option. Do I have to, like, did anybody think that it would work? Sorry, let me start that over. Nobody ever thought that this would work. Nobody ever suggesting, hey, let's get rid of grades, thought that that would be a positive outcome for the students. It was always just a racial deconstructionism that was taking place, where they saw the grades divided by race, and they saw black people or Hispanic people or whoever else, not Asians, obviously, because it's not about race, actually, it's about culture. But black and Hispanic people would score worse than white people on test scores, and so their solution to that was, let's stop scoring tests. I don't know how they sold that to anybody. I don't know how they made that argument in a way that was convincing to literally anybody. But the beautiful thing about that system, the beautiful concept embedded in this cycle, is that by dumbing everybody down, by getting rid of grades and deciding that comparison is racist and standards are oppressive white supremacy, then what they're going to do is come out with a population of dumber and dumber people, less and less capable of even understanding how we got to the point where we are, or seeing through the deceptive lies of the people who are telling them that they're working for them, that they have their best interests in mind, and yet whose policies and programs always and inevitably destroy the lives of the people they're claiming to help. So they come in to say, don't worry, we're going to help you. You poor, innocent, helpless, incapable black people that can't do well on your own. We're going to come in and we're going to help you by lowering our standards to your level and then passing you even though you don't deserve it. Is that a positive thing? Did they really help you? Or are they condescending to you and treating you like you're incapable of achieving what anybody else does. The nice, kind, responsible, empathetic, charitable thing to do actually is to bring them up, raise them up, apply the harsh standards, and then have belief and faith and confidence in them that they can achieve it, and then give them the tools and resources necessary to achieve it. But they're doing the opposite. They're pouring infinite amounts of money into programs to try to correct a problem that doesn't exist in racial, you know, bias amongst the letter grade and the Scantron reader. It's ridiculous. But it's good that Mississippi has basically proven incontrovertibly the more helpful way to go is to actually just treat black people like you treat everybody else. Treat Hispanic people like you treat everybody else. It's actually not hard at all. It's actually not mean. It's actually very condescending and biased and kind of racist to think that black people can't achieve the same as white people. I think they can. I think they just need help and a little bit of motivation, as in, hey, I better get this grade or I'm not moving to the next grade. If it's instead, it doesn't matter what grade I get, I'm always going to graduate high school, so who cares? You're not actually helping that person. You're just facilitating their failure. Mississippi children who lag or miss school days, in some cases, are pushed to attend after-school sessions or Saturday school, and if they fail the reading test twice, they're pressed to attend summer school and will get one final chance to pass before fourth grade begins. If they fail that last chance, they normally must repeat third grade. Yeah, obviously. What is the point of school if you're not going to have benchmarks that they have to reach? It's just daycare at that point. So Mississippi spends significantly less than California or New York, has significantly worse problems with poverty, has a significantly higher proportion of their population that's African American, and yet they're doing a lot better, spending a lot less, because they actually just have faith in black people and actually want to hold black people to the same standards they hold everybody else, and the black people involved rise to meet that challenge and succeed because of it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an amazing thing? That's obvious if you just think about it for 10 seconds, because it's human nature, and we've understood this for literally hundreds of years. What's particularly impressive is that the Southern state surge lifted student achievement with only modest budgets. Spending per pupil in Alabama and Mississippi was below $12,000 in 2024, while in New York, it was almost $30,000. That's worth celebrating and emulating, yet unfortunately, there's not much sign of that, because they don't actually want to help anybody. That's the thing you have to understand. They're just lying, because they wouldn't do what they keep doing if they actually wanted to help people, because every time they do what they want to do, it hurts everybody. So like, what, they would stop if that's not what they wanted to have. The purpose of a system is what it does. So New York and California spend more than twice as much than Mississippi, and yet Mississippi is outcompeting them across the board. And all of that is sort of the perfect runway for this next story. This video I'm about to show you, I got to be honest, it makes me feel sick to my stomach. And it's not because it's gruesome, and it's not because it's vile in any way. It's actually just a very good commercial. The problem is, the thing, like right now, literally, I have like a sinking feeling in my stomach, because the Democrats have figured out a very brilliant propaganda strategy. They did it with Mamdani. They're doing it with a lot of people that were just elected, and they're continuing this, in that they use these very kind of cheesy editing techniques and video techniques that make people seem very human and approachable and normal and reasonable. And they present themselves, while the Republicans are like, we understand what's really going on, and so we look crazy to people that don't, right? We're like, we got to save our country. We're like, guys, we're being destroyed outright. Everything's collapsing. We're being replaced in our own homelands. Like, it's actually accurate. It's actually appropriate. It's actually how we should be. But if you're watching sports ball and reality TV shows all day, if you're scrolling TikTok makeup tutorials 12 hours a day, you have no idea any of that's going on. And so the Democrats have found their perfect strategy of just have a attractive white person say the most basic stuff you could ever imagine, and then get elected and then start ruling like a communist czar. And I'm like terrified. The reason the pit's in my stomach, I'm terrified of how many people are going to fall for this. And how the ad I'm about to show you, to me, represents like, that's it. This is the death of democracy as we know it. It's over. Okay. I was already feeling that way a little bit when you have somebody like Keith Ellison, right, who's on tape conspiring with people who stole hundreds of millions of dollars, convicted for it. He's on tape collaborating with them and saying, I will protect you. I will cover for you. I will get the investigators off your back, but I need your support. I mean, caught red-handed. No shame, no admission from Keith Ellison. He just obstinately lies about it and just says, doesn't happen, never happened. We can play the audio. It happened. It's incontrovertible. It happened. He just lies outright. And the depressing thing about this is knowing that people are still going to vote for him, that we live in a country where a politician can be shown incontrovertibly to be in cahoots with people that stole hundreds of millions of dollars from the government, and people won't kick him out. They won't respond to it. They actually think it's probably a good thing. I don't know how we're supposed to run a country where half the population is fine with corruption as long as it's on their team. It can't exist. But this, I think, is even worse. But I think I've built it up enough. But it goes perfectly in line with everything we were just talking about, with the fact that everything the Democrats do has the genuine opposite outcome of what they intend. Whether it's California homeless, you spend $20 billion on homeless, and the only outcome is that there's significantly more homeless. You spend 2.5 times as much on the average student, and your outcomes are significantly worse. Every single time, they come in with this pabulum, with these talking points that are just utterly meaningless, and yet people just want to feel good about who they're voting for. So they're just going to vote for the person that makes the quirky video saying, I'm going to give you free ice cream. We really are at that point. So let's go to this commercial, clip 28. This woman is running as a Democrat in Virginia. She's just as radical as Abigail Spanberger. And yet if you watch this video, she seems like a normal, down-to-earth mother/porn star. Let's watch. Yeah, 29.
When I get sworn into Congress, I'll be the youngest mom to have ever served. And I'm not telling you that to brag. It's because it's ridiculous. I mean, do you know the youngest dad to have ever served? Yeah, exactly. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm a former tank commander in the United States Army, and I'm a 29-year-old mom raising 4 young kids. My oldest actually turns 5 today. Some of them I grew myself, and others I have the privilege of being their foster mom. I'm running for Congress in Virginia to flip the seat blue from an out-of-touch man who's held it for over 20 years. He doesn't know what life is like for us. I do. Sure, I could come on here and I could read off my professional resume full of big titles and degrees. But you know the saying, if you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. And my lived experience matters just as much as what's on my professional resume. Because I know daycare is unaffordable. I know buying a house is so far down the American dream, most of us will never see it. I am living this every day. I remember what it was like not being able to find formula in the grocery store, being terrified because I had a newborn at home. I know this reality because I live it. And if we want to fix it, we cannot elect politicians who are being paid for by these same companies that are making everyday life unaffordable for you and for me. I know our future is worth fighting for. And moms, we get the job done. Let's go, Virginia.
Just take your clothes off next time, lady. You might as well pull up the first frame. Can we pull up the first frame? Like, just pull up the video, but don't play it. And it's like, okay, what you're going to want to do is put the camera right at crotch level. And you're going to want to, you know, we just want to see just the outline of your vagina. Just the camel toe. We're going to get elected. Whoever has the best camel toe is going to get elected to rule our country, okay? We're going to have a swimsuit competition. And whatever busty bimbo can wear her skin-tight clothes as she babbles about, you know, formula, she's going to win. She's going to win. It's like that Bill Hicks joke, which I can't even say because it's inappropriate. But even in the 80s, you know, he's like, eventually it's just going to be basically hardcore pornography at the end, it'll say drink Coke, right? That's basically what it's just, you might as well just post your OnlyFans, show us your tits, and then say, vote for me. I'm a mom. Okay. Now, sad thing is, people are probably going to vote for her because of that. They're like, no, but she's sexy though. It's like, kinda, not even really, but she kind of like looks like a man to me, but what are we doing here? But what are we doing here? Because if you listen to that, sure, she seems like a whore. Okay, we can all acknowledge that. But what she's saying sounds perfectly reasonable. Yeah, let's zoom in. That's how you get elected these days. Like talk about idiocracy. How far are we until we're literally just electing porn stars? So it's literally just like, well, I don't know, but like she seems like she has pretty good fiscal ideas. And it's like, you literally are just horny. What is wrong with you? Okay, so we have basically a half-naked bimbo pretending to work out while flaunting her camel toe, and vote for me, it says. Vote for me. But am I wrong? When you saw that, can you not see millions and millions of people being like, she's so right, you know? We need fresh faces. You know, just like Abigail Spanberger. Ignore the fact that she's a literal CIA agent who's literally in the belly of the beast, like a part of the head of the Hydra coming in, and then immediately imposes the most draconian and insane socialistic communistic policies you've ever seen. In the first week that Abigail Spanberger was in office, because it's the Abigail Spanberger strategy, it's the Mamdani strategy, it's let's pay $1 million to a social media company to make a really nice video that basically just, you know, makes the private parts of our constituents tingle. And again, it's like, it's sad, but that's literally we actually showed it after Mamdani got elected, and it was all these women in New York just being like, I don't know. It's just, he was just kind of like handsome. And it's just like, oh my God. Yeah, no wonder we're going to lose, because you can literally just put a CIA bimbo in skin tight clothes and her be like, I know what it's like. I'm a mom too. I have trouble affording my things too. And then immediately you're hit with an energy bill that's $700 rather than $300 because they've decided to tack on two times as many taxes. But this is their strategy. So just know, this is what we're up against. It's going to be very seemingly normal, attractive white people saying very basic, normal stuff about feeding your kids and affording your lifestyle. And then they're going to get in and they're going to rule like Chairman Mao. And they're going to destroy the country and nobody's even going to realize it because they can see your vagina.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. And that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.